This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values with your hosts, the Cotellis. I am Marco.
And I'm Tony.
I am back.
Yeah, remind me who you are.
You didn't forget me, especially since you were calling me every like 7 minutes on the dot since I was out of town.
So for those of you who don't know, this is my husband, Marco, and he's been gone for almost 2 weeks.
No, it was like 11 days, 10, 11 days.
That's almost 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I've returned.
Ta-da!
I think I'm better than ever. I got some of that California air.
Yeah, although, well, you also got some of that California black mold.
This is a true story. Really quick story, you guys. I literally got black mold poisoning while I was in LA. So I was like sick for like 4 days or so. It was ridiculous. Looked like I had pink eye. I was devastated. It was such a hard, hard time.
Yeah, you were running around trying to get treatment for your pink eye and you didn't even have pink eye.
No. It was really bad. My doctors weren't returning anything. And then finally he did and was like, I don't believe you have pink eye.
You learned a lot about your insurance.
Yeah, it's just a whole ass mess. But I'm back and better than ever with not pink eyes and a little bit of black mold.
Only slightly labored breathing.
Yeah, but it's all good. Did you miss me?
Of course I did. Mm. You know I turn into a basket case when you're gone.
You're a basket case all the time, but you turn into even more of a basket case when I'm gone.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to be back.
Mm-hmm. So that glad we to have can, you back.
Well, good. Thank you. So that we can leave all over again. And
I know. We're here for a few days, and then, yes, we have to leave again. Just busy.
At least we get to travel together this time.
It's true. I would just like a break.
Would you?
Yes, I would.
Mm, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's for a good reason. It's a wonderful wedding.
I can't wait to go.
I know. I'm so excited for these two to get married.
I am too.
We'll have to post pictures for y'all.
Yeah, because the Cotellis are hitting Michigan.
And hitting it as hard as anyone can hit Michigan.
Does anyone hit Michigan? I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll find out.
Celia and Kenny, don't kill us if you end up listening to this. It'll be fun. Well, what say you? We hop right into our hashtag gay relationship goals for the week.
Hippity hop away.
As a reminder, every week, Sir Tony and I will pick a wonderful queer couple and highlight them as our hashtag gay relationship goals. Our hope is to bring these relationships to the forefront and give a sense of positivity and perspective to the gay relationship narrative. If you and your partner are interested in becoming our hashtag gay relationship goals, or if there is a queer relationship that you admire and would like to bring to our attention, please reach out to us. Tag us on some of these adorable couples photos on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Our handle is @podrelationship. Tony and I will take a look at these photos and posts and could potentially highlight you and your partner on an episode of the podcast.
We sure could.
That I just realized that whole thing has a lot of P's in it, and I'm trying so hard to not like make your earphones like pop with all my P sounds, and it's really hard.
It's difficult.
It's so challenging. Any hoosies, this week Tony and I are highlighting a couple that I love. These guys are Glamour. And I'm real into them. So of course, in my search of Instagram couples and using the hashtag gay relationship goals, I stumbled upon what I like to call chocolate lovin', which is always really fun to have, as you would know.
Don't know what you're talking about.
So, any hoosies, I stumbled upon this gorgeous couple, and as I, of course, fell down the Instagram black hole, I just started looking at all of the beautiful pictures. Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Well played.
That wasn't a dad joke.
I mean, it kind of was. I mean, a dirty dad, but definitely a dad joke. Anyways, I don't know. I stumbled upon this adorable couple. Of course, one's name is James Burrell Hines, and then his now husband, Ricardo Burrell Hines, which, by the way, big shout outs to the Hyphenates because I'm a huge fan. But I stumbled upon them and became like immediately in love with them. Like, they are just so much fashion and glamour and just everything that you need to like
get stretching out vowels does not make a new word.
Get your, but doesn't it? Because they give you looks.
And it's amazing. God, I'm gonna throw up.
That's totally a thing. anyways, so James Burrell Hines is part CEO. I'm sorry, I guess that would be co-CEO and co-founder of Couple of Cocktails together with his husband Ricardo. Which, as I've gathered from their page, they are event bartenders. So it looks like they, you know, serve you all of your liqueur when you, wonderful events. But they are Orlando based, beautiful. Both of them are absolutely stunning. But I just love them because they love each other so much. And so if you look at their pictures, not only are there fantastic posts about the engagement and them being together, but you can go to James's profile where he posted like all of the gorgeous pictures from their Paris wedding.
Yeah, and it was a great two-part honeymoon, starting in France and going to Portugal, which is wonderful. The pictures from the wedding, I never use this word. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've never used it ever before, but this is a pod relationship exclusive. But they are fierce.
So fierce.
Absolutely fierce. I don't even know what you would call it. The cowl.
This train.
The cowl of flowers is incredible.
Well, yes, that is incredible.
And then the cape that goes down like 30 stairs. No. Just amazing.
No, James is like literally my spirit animal. I'm convinced that he is my spirit animal. I'm so in love with it. And I love the glamour. You remember the couple that we highlighted earlier this year in the podcast, Rob and Misha. And you remember,
right,
Misha had a cape. Gorgeous cape on too. And I'm like, should we get married all over again so I can have a cape? Because I just feel like I need one.
I have to tell you, this one kicks its ass all over the internet.
It's kind of true. This one is like insane. I'm just in awe of the two of them. Like, not only are they lovely, not only was their wedding like the event of the year, apparently. It's just like all of it is just absolutely amazing.
Well, I think the thing for me that draws me to them is, you know, there's modeliness to it. There is glamour to it. Glamour. That's how it's pronounced. there's glamour to it.
Such a hater.
Not a hater, just a person who speaks English properly.
i.e. a hater.
But there's this thing about, so like we will get into talking about the internet and Instagram and presentation in just a little bit with our guest. But, there's that piece to them. But then there's the travel, and they're not going to the most amazing places. Like they went to Chicago and they went to, you know, like, and not that there's anything wrong with Chicago, but it's not like their trip to Paris, you know.
Kanye's in Chicago. There's a lot wrong with Chicago right now.
Well, well, and no offense to our guest Amy from a few episodes ago, nothing wrong with Chicago. there is the bit of them traveling. There is the bit of them that is, the food and everything like that. But when you really look at it, you can clearly see the part of them that is a presentation and then the part of them that is like human and flawed and lovely and relatable and linkable and
meant for one another.
Yeah, yeah. That's there's just cool. there's a connection that can occur, and I really would encourage people to go check out their pages.
I love it. I absolutely.
What are those pages?
I 100% agree. I think that if you want to follow James, you should definitely check out his Instagram page, which is beauty_k-. That's KDASH. You will get all the life that you need from that page. And then his husband is Ricardo_model. That is RICCARDO_model. Both of those are on Instagram. Definitely check them out. Follow them. Tell them the Critelli sent you. You guys are going to love both of them just as much as we did.
It's wonderful.
Awesome. Well, let's take a short break because when we get back, we've got to try to solve the world's problems Critelli style.
Hiya, listeners.
We are excited to share with our fellow New Yorkers that we have a group on meetup.com.
Yep, that's right. Every month, this group meets to discuss relationship topics, like-minded singles, couples, and people in all other forms of relationships from around the greater New York City and surrounding areas come together to build a community.
If you're interested in joining us, go to meetup.com and search relationship. That's shit with an exclamation point, not an I. Meeting dates and various social activities will be posted on the page.
This group will give you an opportunity to be a part of a larger dialogue focusing on important relationship topics, and it'll help you connect and have fun with others within our community.
So go to meetup.com and search relationship. We look forward to seeing you at our next meeting.
We're going to get back to the show. We'll see you all later.
Bye. Guess what?
What?
We're back.
Oh, I thought you were going to say chicken butt.
No. So continuing our conversation about how outside influences can affect your relationship, this week we're going to talk about society. Society
she's a bitch.
At large. She is that. She is present. She is looming. She is influential. So what we want to talk about is how society might view our community, how the things we've been talking about up to this point sort of congeal together to become sort of a mass perspective, and some things that we're trying to do to change that.
For sure.
So, you know, we talked about religion, we talked about work, we talked about friends, we talked about family, right? We are not going to talk about politics. We did one taboo. We don't need to do another. But these things all sort of influence, you know, the way people were brought up, old world values, new world values, the collision of those things. These things all sort of add up to what we call society, right? And it is, you know, there isn't one voice. There isn't a voice of the people, I don't think anyway. But there are some pretty heavy tidal waves that have influence and create movement. I think that when you consider all the things that we've talked about up to this point about how homosexuality was viewed as a mental illness, how it has fallen in and out of favor throughout history, how there have been practices that made gay union okay or normal, and then, you know, Puritans came over here and were not so hip about that and all of that. But those things all come together to create not a great perception of our community. So persecution exists. There's a reason that hate crime legislation had to be passed. And there is a reason we call it the fight for equality. So understanding that, what does it look like? I mean, part of the reason why we started this podcast is healthy relationships is not a known feature of our community, both within and without. And there are some things that we do to perpetuate that, but there are some things I think it's a vicious cycle. And because we are taught not to love what we are, because we are excluded from places where we should be learning our values, when it's not okay to talk about it, period, in any sort of public forum, when you have to come out, when you have to be afraid of what people are going to say or do when you reveal that you are a part of this minority. You know, all those things don't really lend to a strong, well-liked group of people.
Narrative, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to me, too, because I think about how when you think about, like, relationships from, like, during, like, the Mad Men era, right? Like,
right.
The 50s and the 60s, and it was normal for guys to cheat on their wives and do all of this other stuff. And then being gay was, like, a lot more prominent. And so guys were sleeping with other guys, but they were doing it secretly, right? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't want their wives to know and all this other stuff like that, because they had created these lies. Part of me believes that the reason why gays are so discriminated against is because there's a lot of blame out there for broken homes or things that have taken place because of the realities of all of that stuff. That, you know, people feel like, you know, I know within the Black community, for example, the whole DL, the down low movement, was a lot of Black women not trusting Black men because they thought that they were all going to end up with other men as well. Like they were going to cheat on their girlfriends and wives and baby mamas alike with other guys, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the whole thing. So a lot of Black women started hating Black gay men because they were like, you're stealing all of our
men.
Mm-hmm. And how many times have you heard heterosexual women say things like, ugh, you know, God, another one for the gays. Like they, you know, you guys got all the good guys, like, right? You guys get all the fashionable guys, you get all the attractive guys, you get all the guys that have good bodies. And what are we left with? We're left, you know, we don't necessarily have all those things. And so I think that there's a teeny bit of resentment, you know, about it. And there's like a little bit of just anger and jealousy because they think that gay society swallowed up their heterosexual men.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know right now, we don't want them.
Well, there's also the dualistic or the binary requirement that so many people have. It's what makes us feel safe when we can break things into categories. And homosexuality is very jarring to that sort of human, I hesitate to say need, but wiring perhaps. So, you know, men are supposed to be these masculine, dominant, hunter, you know, territorial, fighter, strong, you know, all of that. And to be not that is really difficult. And women are supposed to be these nurturing, submissive, timid gatherers who create family and have children, and that's, you know, the role. And you know, so to have a strong-willed lesbian who doesn't need a man, oh my gosh, like, who doesn't need a man? Everyone needs a man.
Right, she's either a man-eater or hater, right? Or she is just confused and hasn't had a man love her or do her correctly.
Right.
And so that's the reason why she's a lesbian, right? Like those are the things. And just like we were talking about with Troy, part of the problem with homosexuality is that, much to your point, is that people only think about it regarding the sex, right?
Right.
So a man is fine if he's a gay man, but he has to be the top, right? Because that's the only way that we can accept him as a masculine man. Whereas if we are going to have somebody that is a bottom, somebody that is penetrated and things like that, they're less of a man because they like penises in their butts. And we're thinking about it under those circumstances. We're not thinking about it in any other way, like as if being a man means that you're never in your life supposed to be penetrated. Like that's not a thing that should happen.
Well, and I think that goes to the roles business that we were just discussing. And I think it's a very ancient thing. I don't think that is, you know, I think there's evidence that has been around for a very long time. Caesar, it was culturally acceptable for the Caesar to have sex with the men, and he regularly had sex with his guards and his warriors, and it was perfectly acceptable as long as he wasn't penetrated by them. And that was a cultural norm, and that was a long time ago. So I think that there's a lot to be said about that sort of concept. And I think that anything that appears to be contrary to the norm that people have experienced, again, that sort of challenging the binary, you know, a penis is meant to be inserted into something. It's not meant to be inserted into something that also has a penis. And so that becomes, you know, problematic for people. And that's just, it's just strange to me. It's strange that we need that. And now, I mean, not to get super graphic, but, you know, there's lots of heterosexual relationships where men are being penetrated either digitally or even with dildos.
Pegging is a huge thing right now.
It's a thing. And you know what? There's good reason for it. Like, the prostate is like, that is what stimulates and starts the charge for the whole system, and it initiates the Cowper's gland, and, you know, it does all kinds of stuff, and it feels good. So it's becoming more and more, it's also becoming more and more normal for men to receive rim jobs. Like, these are becoming, you know, the taboo of the anus is going away. And I think it's part of this whole sexual liberation movement that's even different than the last one, which is just whatever you want to try, whatever feels good, as long as it's safe, as long as it's consensual, like, it's not normative.
Yeah. And as long as it's with a partner that is willing to go through it with you, like, right? So that's right. Like the whole thing. And I just,
but they still have to be heterosexual.
They still have to be heterosexual. And it's just weird. Again, I want to write a book like Butthole, like the most underestimated and slightly abused part of your body, right?
That's the working title.
I'll refine it shortly. It's just
the incredible edible anus. There you go.
Oh, I like it. See, that's a good one.
Trademark.
Yes, I like it. I just, you know, it's weird because societally, I mean, we have a lot of things that are against us as gay men, as a queer community, right? Yeah. There's a lot of things that are, there's legislation. They are trying to find ways to, like, make gay, queer, bi, lesbian, transgender people feel like second-class citizens in their very own country, right? Like, mm-hmm. They are trying to do so much.
Well, and they've succeeded in many ways.
In so many ways, you know? And it's really, really sad, especially since anything that goes on behind my doors should have absolutely nothing to do with you. It should have absolutely nothing to do with you as a human being. How is me being married to another man really affecting you as a human being? It doesn't. It has nothing to do with you. As a matter of fact, you should want us in your neighborhood because we're going to make your property value go up. Like, we are amazing. You know, like, we're going to be good. We cook the best meals. We have the best parties. The block parties are going to be litty.
Are you stereotyping?
No, I'm just speaking truths. You know, it's a thing. Like, and so I just feel like it's just weird. So society really just kind of needs to get the fuck over itself and understand that, like, everything that we're doing, like, you don't have to be involved in everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you can actually get the fuck out. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like,
or just shut the fuck up.
Like, you don't have to be involved in everything. Like, what I do with my husband has zero to do with you. So leave me the hell alone, and we can nod or not nod at one another when we see each other at the grocery store. But at the end of the day, like, that doesn't require you telling me that what I'm doing with my life is not good, because you're probably cheating on your wife, or your wife is probably unhappy with you, or your kids are probably little shits.
Or you're accidentally having many of them.
Right.
With and no intention.
There's so many things that you are not doing correctly in your home that I don't get myself involved in.
Right. And I'm not angry at you for being heterosexual.
No, I don't care. I don't care.
I need you to be heterosexual because you keep making more of us.
For sure. You know, so I think our universe, I think cultures, I think people, like, when I sit back and I think about the fact that, like, women in India are just now able to drive, and you know, marriage for, you know, two men is, you know, just now legal in a lot of countries. You know, I think Australia just, you know, let that happen. Like, when I think about those things, I'm like, how fucking frustrating. How frustrating that people have let this, I don't know, like, let this go on for as long as it has, as if it's, like, any of their business. It's just crazy. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to create this podcast, right? Because we wanted to be able to show that gay people, they're just like us, you know, like they do the same things, they shop at the same places, they like, you know,
they have the same problems,
they have the same problems, they love each other the same way that we do, they sometimes can't stand each other the same ways that we don't like each other, like, you know, these things are all pretty typical.
Yeah, and that is part of the point of the podcast, is to educate other parts of the mainstream culture about what this looks like. It's also to heal the wounds caused by that mainstream culture, to show the people in our own community that they are worthy, that they can have this, that this does exist, that even though they've been told it's different, it's not different. What you and I experience and what we go through is no different than what I went through when the times that I was with women. Like,
sure.
It's no different. What two lesbians go through, it's no different. There's an amazing trans couple that you introduced me to, and they're famous, and they they're all over the media, and they're getting a lot of attention, and she's pregnant now, and you know, it's like, I bet they have the same stuff too.
For sure.
I bet they do.
For sure. And I think that, again, from a societal standpoint, I think once, and we've said this in previous episodes where we said, you know, once you know somebody that's gay, or, you know, and you know and understand them and you have them in front of you, that is when you come to the reality that, like, oh, it's not this alien scenario that I've just not been familiar with. It's actually pretty typical and they're normal. Like, once that happens, I think more people would do that. But why do you think, well, I know why, I can answer my own question, but what is really bothersome to me is that so many people will forever hold off on that enlightenment. They refuse to acknowledge that enlightenment.
Well, I think people are walking around with an incredible amount of fear, not just about this, but in general. I think it's this fog that, like, clouds their mind and their judgment, and it blurs their vision, or it narrows it, and it makes it difficult to see, and it makes it nearly impossible to fully experience all the joy that life has to offer. And I think that it expresses itself in a number of ways. I think that there's a reptilian part of your brain that recognizes patterns. And it's where the safety feeling comes from. It's where fight or flight comes from. It's where we throw things into categories. And that makes us feel safe. And when there is other, regardless of what it is, there is a fear response. And the fear response is very basic. It's very primal. It's not high level. And so what you really have to realize is people are not functioning from their frontal, the frontal part of their brain, the lobe, mm-hmm. that actually has executive functioning and the ability to discern much more subtle things and to make decisions based on morality or culture to really understand things. I think, you know, you can't give everybody a CAT scan or an MRI at that exact moment. But I think when they go to those rallies or when they shout those things, I think when they think about gay people, like, I think that there is probably an activation of that part of the brain. I think it's basic. I think it's fear. And I think it takes a lot of hard work on everyone's part to combat that. And when you have a person who that's if you're motivated to change that about yourself. Imagine, and it's impossible if you're not. But I think that's a really huge part of it. I think that the culture change is very recent. I mean, we could do our research and say, when was there the first openly gay character on a television show? When was there a first same-sex, relationship shown? I remember the first gay kiss on TV. I remember when Ellen came out on TV. Yeah, and that was like a huge thing. And it was on the news, and there was all these interviews. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that it even became okay. Like, it was risky to play gay. And it was so strange that an actor would do that. And it was so, you know, you could never have someone on TV. And then there were all these stupid rules where, like, okay, you can have the gay character, but you can't show their bedroom. If they're in a relationship, or you can, you know, but I mean, think about it. It used to be that you couldn't show a man and a wife in the same bed. And if you look at old television, the man and the woman are always in separate beds. There's two beds in the bedroom. Yeah.
I think about like watching like The Birdcage. I was watching The Birdcage as like a child, like a child. And I don't know that I knew what gay was, but I remember gay characters.
Right.
And, you know, wasn't it Al Pacino that was in Cruising, that that New York City, I think it was Al Pacino, was in that movie called Cruising that was about the gay, like, club scene, like, and going out and, like, essentially, like, cruising for guys and things like that. Like, he was in that movie as a heterosexual man, but he is playing a gay character. And those things were, and you're right, it was so risque for mm-hmm. him to play that character. Yeah. Like, people really had an issue with it. And so it's just so fascinating to me because gays are fabulous, you know, and a lot of people, but you know what? I literally think about gay culture the way I think about Black culture, because, you know, all too often we sit back and say, you know, it's so funny that people have an issue with Black people, right? Like, we're racist. There's racist. There's discrimination against Black people. But so many people have glommed onto Black culture in various ways, right? Mm-hmm. Wearing extensions, big butts are a thing right now, right? Bigger lips, fuller lips, having these like curvier bodies and things like that are a part of it. The music, the language, right? The like all of
the
those
clothing.
Things, the clothing are all a part of the Black experience that now white society is like literally grasping onto. Even like luxury designers are making sneakers and shoes like based off of like Black cultures and like the way that Black people gravitate towards sneaker culture and things like that too. The Kardashians literally have an entire career based off of Black men that they're sleeping with and or marrying and or having children with or all of the above. And then their bodies and things like that are shaped after these Black women and things like that as well. It's this whole thing. I feel that same way about gay culture. I feel like gay culture experiences this exact same thing, right? Everyone loves to say yes and hunty, and we watch RuPaul's Drag Race and we think it's so fascinating, and we love to go to the gay bars, you know, heterosexual white women. Let me take that white person back part back, because it's heterosexual women in general will go have their bachelorette parties at gay clubs and be a part of that whole experience because they want to be there and they want to have that fun and the musics. And, you know, we literally have made Madonna who she is, Cher who she is, like, like all of these things, like Liza Minnelli, like all of these people are who they are because gay people have literally gone and supported and been a part of these things. Fashion, the fashion industry, these Louis Vuitton bags that you're carrying, these Moschino clothes that you're wearing and bags that you're carrying and all of these other things that you're carrying around are designed by Black people. Gay people. Tom Ford is a gay man. Like, these people are gay and doing these things, and you love to buy their clothes, you love to have their things,
and you love to condemn them.
And you love to condemn them. And that's the weirdest thing in the world to me.
Yeah.
It's like I only accept gay culture when it comes to my suits, but I don't accept them when it's my brother or it's my neighbor.
Well, and that's the hypocrisy of it all. I mean, that's, you know, there's the joke, right? You know, they can't be seen as a sexual being. So, you know, Tom Ford may be a great designer and they may have a lot of his stuff, but he's not a gay man to them. And that's the hypocrisy of it. Like, if you truly believed that being gay was wrong, then wouldn't you boycott all the gay things? Like, wouldn't you?
And you would be a disheveled mess because you will never look good again.
No one would cut your hair. You wouldn't have any product to put in anything.
I mean, let's talk about hair, right? How many heterosexual women have been getting their hair done from gay guys in hair salons for decades?
Mm-hmm.
Decades. And then these women will leave the hair salons and then go to their church and then listen to their pastor talk about how gay people are going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those things don't make sense to me. So society needs to get it the fuck together. Like, you can't straddle the fence. You can't do both. Like, you either need to be on one side of it or you need to be on the other. And much to your point, like, you, the hypocrisy behind it, like, you have to be a solid person. Like, if you're going to have a narrative about gay people, I would rather you be that if you're going to have a negative narrative, like you hate gay people, I would rather you own that and live that life all the way through than to pick and choose which part of gay culture that you're going to be okay with.
Well, and I think, you know, I definitely appreciate anyone who shoots from the hip, even if I don't agree with them. It's always something I admire about a person is authenticity. But I don't think that people need to pick a side or not straddle the fence. I think that, you know, Walt Whitman said it best, you know, I contain multitudes, I contradict myself. Like I think as things change, people are confused. I think they will not make sense because they're trying to figure stuff out. I think some people are caught in the middle and they don't want to be. And I do think that, and I've said this before, I do think that in spite of all of humanity's faults, we always eventually get it right and move forward. So equality is a growing thing. It's not a shrinking thing. You know, we do now have the ability to marry, and that's great. You know, we are not allowed to be discriminated against in a variety of settings, and that's great. There's still more to go. You know, and I think that especially like we need to focus on what we're doing to our children, period, but especially when they're gay, we should be seeking out help to figure out how to work with that, not throwing them out, not denying them their sexuality. You know, there was a great video that you shared with me where a mom got her son pills to begin to transition. And the way that child looked, that child had to be very young. And the way that child looked and the genuineness with which that child cried when mom did that, like that was, you know, that was incredible. And that needs to become the norm. Like we all just need to learn to like nurture and like each other. I think that would go, you know, a long way. I forget who said it, but one of our friends said, if we as Americans can just figure out how to be nice to black trans females, we will solve 99% of our problems with discrimination. And I believe that.
And on that note, I think we need to take a break because I don't think that there's anywhere to go back from that. That was awesome. Thank you so much for that conversation.
Yeah, thanks
for chatting
with me.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back in just a bit.
Hi, listeners. This is Tony, and I'm here to shamelessly request a favor of each and every one of you. Please take a moment to rate and review our show. It may seem like a small thing, but the way technology is driven these days makes indicators like this one vital. Your rating, your words, they are another form of assistance for this podcast and your community. And I get a kick out of reading them. It means the world to me that so many of you are out there listening, are emailing us to say that you're feeling better and are enjoying what my husband and I do. I cannot thank you enough for your continued investment into this growing dialogue about healthy gay lives. Thank you, sincerely. And now, back to the show.
All right. I am so excited for this interview right now. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a really long time.
It's true.
And it looked like the opportunity presented itself. I'm so excited because I would like to think of him as a friend of mine. But he's sitting right across from us right now. We have influencer extraordinaire Nathaniel James over here.
Clap, 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 clap.
I know, right? Nathaniel, say hi to everyone.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
We're so excited to have you here. It's literally been so, Nathaniel, with what I do, Nathaniel and our paths crossed at an event. Mm-hmm. And like the two of us like met and I started talking to you about products. And then we were both like, all right, we're done with that. Yeah. You're so much fun. I really enjoy you. Tell me all about you. Tell me what's going on. And then we ended up becoming friends, which is great. We went to a few dinners and some drinks and stuff like that. And we've just always stayed in touch and it's been fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. It's amazing.
You're so much fun. So we brought Nathaniel here. One, Nathaniel, I would love for you to like tell everyone what it is that you do, because you're an influencer. Mm-hmm. And I think there's
What the heck is that?
Yeah. There's a few people like my husband who has no idea what an influencer is.
I figured it out. But you can talk to me like I don't know.
Yeah. So what does an influencer do in general?
So I'm a quote unquote influencer. I don't love the term influencer, but it is something that most accurately describes, what I do and kind of the entire market of it. I started out as a blogger, and started out kind of promoting myself on Instagram, posting different outfits, you know, posting products that I liked. And then from there it grew into brands reaching out to me and wanting to work with me on a more consistent basis. So I promote products that I believe in, that I stand by, on my social media channels, like on my Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, I blend kind of my organic voice for a brand, so it makes it seem as though it's coming from me instead of just a unnamed brand.
Hmm. And essentially, your influence brings your audience to mm-hmm. go look at these brands, right? Like,
yep.
They like start paying attention to it and like paying, because I do on a consistent basis. This is what I always feel like I should have been an influencer.
It's not too late.
Because I'm a huge, like, I love using products. I'm like involved in, like, I love fashion within itself and things like that. But like, I just never promoted and or marketed myself. So yeah. I follow quite a few influencers because mm-hmm. you are amongst like some elite influencers out there, which are really amazing too. So you yeah. were somebody that I was like super drawn to from the beginning. And then when I met you at that event, I was like, oh,
oh, well, thank you.
It was like so nice. And then you were nice. And that was the other part that just made it like really
yeah.
good.
Yeah. I try to be as genuine as possible with people and like try not to buy into too much the idea of like the influencer realm, because I think it gets taken so seriously. And I think so many people flip it to be like you're like a celebrity and like you want to be noticed in the streets, or, you know, kind of have this notoriety as being this person. And for me, I don't feel like the term influencer like fits, because for me mentally, I'm like, well, who am I influencing? You know what I mean? Who am I kind of getting to listen to my message or to buy the products that I buy? But it really isn't necessarily about that. It's more about making a lifestyle for yourself and making kind of carving out your own path. And there are other people that have similar interests, so they're going to listen to what you have to say. So
that's what I love about GQ, for example, because they mm-hmm. started, they coined the term GQ Insider,
yes.
which I love a lot more because yeah. it's an influencer. But essentially what they're mm-hmm. doing is like they're like a voice for the GQ gentleman, right? Like
yeah.
the guy that like goes out and is in the best bars, eating the best food at the best restaurants, mm-hmm. wearing the best clothes from the best designers, and like doing all that. And they just kind of have insight on where it is that you should be and the things that you should be paying attention to as like a gentleman that
yeah.
is about grooming and clothing and, mm-hmm. and cocktails and all that good stuff. So
yeah, for sure.
I just need to make some notes so our listeners know I'm here. Please continue with your conversation.
Yeah. It's so good. So we wanted to bring you here. So Tony and I have been talking about like the influences of gay relationships, right? Outside influences mm-hmm. and the different ways that our, I don't know, the things that happen about us and like within our orbit can kind of affect gay relationships. And I want to read something aloud to you that yeah. I'm sure you may not have read aloud. I don't know. But as some of you know or have seen, my presence on Instagram and social media has been minimal and sporadic. The main reason for this absence is the overwhelming pressure I've been putting on myself to be exactly like everyone else. Every day I open this app, I am flooded with photos of half-naked guys who are naturally beautiful, with bodies formulated in gyms, with steroids, and with lives that seem perfect. After working in this industry for the past 6 years, I found just how untrue the promise of advertising and advertorial really is. I am guilty of trying to make my life look glamorous in an effort to either impress others or garner the attention of brands, followers, or potential competition. I've fallen into a trap where I feel the need to Photoshop my body to make myself look the way I think people want to see me, In turn, I've set unrealistic expectations for myself and the way I perceive myself. I no longer have a connection with confidence. I no longer have a connection with myself. I have become so wrapped up in what people want to see and what will make money instead of what will make me happy and what I care about. I have entered a new part of my life where Instagram is no longer as important to me. My mental health and stability for myself matters more than a numbers game. I am sorry to those who I've lost connection with over the past year. I'm working on helping myself and putting my stability above all else. I now am at a point where I realize what the problem is and am working on getting help. I'll still be posting on here every so often. I don't know where life will lead me, but I'm trying to make that future more healthy for myself.
What a good writer. Who wrote that? That's insane.
I wrote it.
Oh, there you go.
I had to take a break from social media. Yeah, right.
I don't know. Did you even take a start with social media?
I did not. I accidentally signed up for Instagram one time trying to access our account.
So, Nathaniel, that was written 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was written by you.
It was, yes.
How does it feel to hear it read aloud?
I've read it to myself back so many times. And when I was writing it, I was actually on set for a job. But I had been feeling those feelings for a really long time. And I had actually written a much lengthier post that I tried to copy and paste into Instagram. And it was just like, yeah, right.
Nice try, sister.
So many characters. Yeah. So I kind of was like, well, I'm not going to post it. And that was a couple weeks prior. And I was on set and I was like, you know what? Like, fuck it. Like, I just don't care. It's time for me to just like tell people what's up. So hearing it back it's actually really a kind of eye-opening to like hear it from another voice. It makes me a little uncomfortable, but it's not so uncomfortable that I can't handle it. But it's the truth, you know? And so hearing it back and having it confirmed for me it's kind of nice.
Why uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable probably because I've only read it in my tone, so I haven't heard it from the viewpoint of others. So hearing it from like you, I'm like, shit, like that's how he's reading it, you know what I mean? Like, not like it's any different, but just like knowing that you're processing the information as someone else other than me.
Sure.
And hearing those words again is just kind of like, yeah, shoot, like that's where I'm at,
because I read it and I literally, like, you posted it and like 30 seconds later I text you.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like,
you're like, girl, I'm
holy
here.
Shit, are you okay? What's going on? What can I do? I'm applauding you, good for you. Like, I'm so happy that you're like making these changes for your own life. Not because I, you know, don't want you not on social media, because I look to your style for a lot of inspiration.
Thank you.
But for you taking the lead, you're taking charge of your life, and I was so proud of you in that moment for doing that, because I thought it was like so brave and so strong, right?
It's scary. I mean, it's still scary. I have 4 collaborations that I'm working with brands on right now that, like, I don't even know if they've seen it or if they have seen it, what their impression of it is, but it's scary when you open the door, you kind of open that conversation to a larger audience when this is my career, quote unquote, or this is what I'm doing to have money, or this is what I'm doing to garner attention from people. So it's tough to know that it's out there, and to know that I'm working with brands, and to know that it might reflect negatively on me in the future. But ultimately, that's kind of why I wanted to do it, to kind of draw the line in the sand, to say, like, I'm not going to continue down the same path that I have. There's a quote, and I can't remember who said it, but it was, if you continue to do the same things and expect different results, that's called insanity.
For sure.
And it really like got me thinking, because it is insanity. If I continue to keep doing the same things, no change is ever going to come of it. I'm never going to accept where I am mentally or in my life financially or whatever. So it was just kind of a way to get the conversation started, but a way to just be like, peace, I'm out. Here's what's up. This is why I haven't been posting, because I know that there's people that do care about it. There's people that actively comment on every single photo of mine, that, you know, followers are the reason that influencers are a thing and social media in general. So it felt like I kind of had to share that with people.
I love that you did that. I you know, we text back and forth and I was like, oh my God, like, so proud of you. And you were like, thank you so much for the support. And I was like, anytime, like, you can call me Wonder Bra. Like, I am here. I will, like, I will literally give you an immense amount of, because I want, like, I cannot imagine the pressure that one would feel to be that public. You know, we did an interview a few weeks ago when we were talking with Matthew Olszewski, the shirtless violinist, and we were talking about, like, you have this, like, shirtless persona where, like, you have to watch what you're eating, because we invited them to have a glass of wine with us. And he was like, oh, can't have wine because I'm in the middle of, like, a cutting diet right now. And I was like,
Jesus, girl,
holy shit. Like, this is what you have to do to keep up this, like, persona, right? You have to keep this up. And I'm sure, I mean, you said it within your post, like, you were photoshopping your body to try to make sure that it looked the way that your audience wanted it to. What is that like?
It's terrible. I mean, I think the conversation about mental health is something that needs to be much more widely opened. And I think that people need to be more okay with talking about it. I mean, I've never been the most secure person in my entire life. I was when I was younger, but kind of getting older and as a gay man, regardless of being an influencer, regardless of any status of whatever, there's a pressure to look a certain way, to fit a certain mold, because we are gay. So we feel this need to kind of prove ourselves to other people and to the people in our community. So whether it be working out all the time or like having a great body or having a really high success at work or having the perfect family or having the perfect home or the perfect dog. It's always these ways to kind of make up for things that we feel are lacking. And I don't feel like there's anything really in my life that's lacking. I come from a family background that's incredibly loving and caring, and they support me no matter what. So for me, I think the validation was more about me feeling good in my own skin personally. So, you know, I also come from a marketing background. So I understand that sex sells and also that finished products are not the original product and that Photoshop is real and that it's an incredible tool. And you can make people believe that a motorcycle is flying in the air and, you know, there's a woman on it that looks perfect.
And that I don't have bags under my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the revolution of Facetune has made it so easy for people to just change simple, tiny things about themselves to put it out there to make it look like that's kind of the package that you're getting.
You guys, the new Facetune can give, you can create a new nose.
Oh yeah, you can create new, like, eyes. You can do the whole thing. You can have the Kylie Jenner situation. It's
for sure.
It's a hot mess. But yeah, I just feel like for me, it really put me into this kind of dark spiral of looking back at old photos and being like, damn, you looked so good. And then being like, no, bitch. Like, you photoshopped that. Like, you bloated your muscles, you made your waist thinner, you changed your jawline, you whitened your teeth, you cleared your skin. Like, that's a version of you, but that's not you. And what everybody sees, Instagram is a highlight reel, and the rest of your life is the behind the scenes. No one sees the behind the scenes. No one sees what goes into it. So for me, I kind of was just at a point where I was like, you know what, I don't want to lie anymore. I don't want to keep feeding into this. I don't want to make people think that I'm something I'm not. Not that the whole entire world is looking at me demanding some sort of perfect image, but it was the pressure I put on myself, really. And that's where the whole mental health thing came in, because it's not what other people want of you. It's what you think other people want of you. And so that was this post was kind of the first step to get away from that and to try to distance myself from that past person. So
even hearing you talk, I mean, it never occurred to me how psychologically damning turning yourself into a product could actually be. You know, it's one thing to work for a shoe company and try to get people to like a shoe. It's another thing to have to sacrifice and cut at yourself every day to sell that.
Right.
Never even thought of it. That's
yeah. And incredible. I think the other part of it too is there's a lot of people that do it successfully and a lot of people that really don't manipulate their photos or change the way that they look. But it takes a really secure person to be a model, and it takes a really secure person to put themselves out there. And influencers and Instagram have kind of made it so that it's a subculture of modeling. And I just have never really felt so secure in myself So it was more like the pressure that I put on myself to be the person that I thought people wanted to me to be, as opposed to just me, which, like, I'm not an unattractive person. I'm not by any means completely out of shape, but, like, I'm not going to be able to put on an Orla Bar Brown bathing suit and stand in front of a camera without any manipulation and expect people to be like, oh, hell yeah, girl. Like, it's just not.
No, not when you're amongst other Instagram influencers or models and things like that that put on those exact same board shorts or Speedos and things like that and have muscular put together bodies. Because and I think that that's what the biggest thing is you can be as insecure, as secure in yourself as you want to be, but then you see the other people who you are fighting for timeline space with, right? And you're like, I don't look like them. I don't look like them. Like, I don't have that body. I don't have that hair. I don't have clear skin. I don't do all those things. And so I may have to Photoshop myself to look like those people, whereas they may not have to Photoshop themselves at all. Like, you know, and so it's like, you know, you go through that stuff. And, you know, I don't have the optics that you have, you know, but, you know, my couple of thousand of followers versus your 22,000 followers and things like that is not this is by no means on the same scale. But there is, you know, even when I post pictures, I'm like, ugh, I have sinus bags under my eyes that I'm like constantly that I see in pictures that I'm constantly having to try to smooth out on FaceTime to try to figure it out. It's bad. What is that? Why do we do that to ourselves?
It's a societal kind of, it's a compound thing with society that, you know, for so long, so many people want you to look a certain way. So you start to believe that, like, regular people, like, are not beautiful, and that, like, the constant image of people in magazines or in advertisements or in movies, like, the draw and the romance of that all, like, really, it wanes on you over time, and you're just like, okay, so that's what beauty is, right? And so for yourself, when you look at a photo of yourself, you're not seeing yourself, you're seeing a flattened image of all of your features with shadows and highlights. So you're seeing an image that doesn't necessarily completely reflect who you are. The way that I photograph and the way that I look in person are slightly different, but I've met people that the way that they photograph and look in person, I'm like, damn, that is not the same person. And I know for a fact that they haven't manipulated their photos.
It was one of the first things that you said to me, actually, when we first met. Do you remember? Because Tony and I met online, and Tony literally said to me, oh my God, you're so much more beautiful in person than you are in pictures.
It's true.
And that was before Facetune and Photoshop and all that. Like, I wasn't even Facetuning things, but you know, I found ways to, like, pick the right angle to make me look a little bit better in a picture and stuff like that. And Tony literally said that to me. And, you know, I love her. Beyonce is my queen, but I think she ruined everyone by saying I woke up like this, because no one wakes up looking like Beyonce.
No, girl. Not at all. There's a whole team required that makes Beyonce look like Beyonce. Beyonce wakes up and she is not the Beyonce that we know.
Somebody's got to carry the fan.
She's still beautiful.
Oh,
don't
she's
get me
gorgeous,
wrong.
She's of
still,
course.
But, like, Beyonce waking up versus Beyonce on stage is two different types of beautifuls.
Completely.
Right? And I think that that's what the problem is.
How do you always manage to bring her into the conversation?
I mean, Beyonce runs the world.
She does run
she
the world.
She literally
have to
said
say,
it.
She's literally perfect. Perfect in every way. Can't deny that. Have to be honest.
True statement. I'm so fascinated by this, because you hit on something else, as in you were talking about being a gay man and how we put this pressure on ourselves like that. What the fuck is going on with our culture that we do this to ourselves, right?
It's so interesting, because it's like, I was just talking to a friend about relationships today, and he was saying how he preferred, like, more masculine guys versus more feminine guys, and how a lot of people have a huge problem with that, which I get to a certain extent. We shouldn't be excluding feminine people, but that's just his preference. He happens to just like masculine men. And feminine men are kind of meeting this intersect now where it's more acceptable for them to speak out, or for them to just voice their opinion in a more broad way than I think was prior. But I think that there's always been this pressure on men, specifically gay or not, to be men. And when you don't fit into that box, it's really, really, it's tiring and scary and a little sad, because you change all the things about yourself to become this person. Like, as a gay man in New York, before I moved to New York, I was like wearing fucking insane looks. I was stunting some looks. Like, I would wear like Matthew Williamson blazers with like zebra and rainbow striped piping. Like, it was just a whole nother look. And now I'm very demure, very simple, very classic, very clean lines. And I think that seeing that not everyone dressed like that sort of made me question, okay, well, does this actually look good, or am I just kind of, you know, going off a whim here? And there were parts of myself that I identified with that I really truly did love that I had to kind of kill in order to make myself feel better and to feel like, oh, like I could get the type of guy I want to date if I didn't dress like this, or I didn't act like this, or I didn't strut when I was walking in the streets of Manhattan. So I think that there's this pressure, which for a really long time, it was like, be open, be who you are, love who you are. And that message is still out there, but everybody still wants you to be in a box. Everybody still wants this mask for mask. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's very, to me, in what I've experienced, that's what people want. And that's what people kind of, that's what sells to people.
It's weird. I remember back in my days, like in my early gay days, I would only wear loose fitting jeans. Like the idea of like being, of wearing like tight fitting clothing and stuff like that, like meant that I was too gay. And that was just something that I just could not deal with. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that, because I was a very thin person, and the commentary that I got about wearing tight fitting clothing and then being able to see my skinny legs and things like that, like, really made me uncomfortable. But then I remember I just got comfortable in myself. Yeah. And as soon as I got comfortable with who I was wearing skinny jeans and things like that. And it was so funny because I always get told that I'm, unapproachable and fairly intimidating
all the time.
And my husband has told me multiple times that it's because there's this self-assuredness that just reads over my face. Like, people just know that, like, I ain't getting ready to take no bullshit.
Yeah.
And so they have a really hard time like approaching me because they're like, I don't know what to say to this person. And I tell him all the time that I'm completely okay with that because yes, there's an authenticity to who I am as a human being and who I know as a human being that like, I'm just not interested in doing that. But a lot of gay people don't possess that, right? They end up trying to emulate what they see. So they go to the gym way too much because they think that that's what's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that like the Speedo was like the bathing suit thing, right? Like everyone bathing, like all of the Fire Island pictures that I saw this summer had guys in little itty bitties all summer.
All summer.
Like the entire summer.
Yeah.
Mykonos, Miami, everywhere, like the white party, all over the place, like all the gays were doing those things. And it's so interesting to me because like I'm personally not attracted to that, like as you can see from my very, and I say this with all the love, but you are a very basic white boy, like you're just like you're like salt of the earth, normal, and I like that. I always say that there can't be two prima donnas in the bathroom. Like there's only room for one,
right?
And I will gladly wear that crown. But yeah, we just don't have, but that's what I'm attracted to.
Of course.
Love feminine gays, and I literally will cheerlead feminine gays. I don't know that I would invite feminine gays into my bedroom. And that's not because of anything other than the fact that like, that's just a preference.
Right.
But that's not to say that my issue is always when people have the preference, like they have their preferences, but then they don't associate with those people as well.
Well, of course, absolutely. That's the messed up thing. And that's why, to the flip side of what I was saying earlier about this mask for mask versus femme thing, it's like, I will always, like you said, cheerlead feminine gays. I will cheerlead anybody who identifies as queer or gay or any of the above, trans. It doesn't matter to me because at the end of the day, like for the most part, any person that's able to be as feminine and out and open and to be the person that they are, I applaud that.
I'm jealous.
And that is the root of it. That's the root of it. And I think that so many people feel this jealousy and like you were saying, like you're unapproachable. Mm. People are not secure enough to come up to you because they realize that like they don't have that security. They don't have that openness with themselves.
For sure.
They don't have the ability to walk outside wearing what they want to, saying what they want to, acting the way they want to act, and just be the person that they are. And my brother's also gay. He's 2 years older than I.
I've always wanted a gay brother.
Yeah.
I love my straight brother. He is the best thing in the world, but I always wanted a gay brother.
It's, it's interesting because my brother was the straightest straight man I had ever met when we were in high school. Mm. So he was the one who was actually bullying me instead of anyone else.
Mm.
It was pretty bad.
I should come from home.
But the reason that that was happening was because he was like, you are so flamboyant. You are so clearly proud of yourself. And like, he couldn't handle that. He couldn't handle that as someone in the closet and seeing his little brother be this, you know, joyful faggot running around, standing on the back of the bus in third grade, like screaming Enrique Iglesias lyrics. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, he couldn't handle it. So, so I think there's
a
lot
to fire extinguisher.
Yes, seriously.
The girl, flames are so high.
They were just stoked. It was insane. But I think that there's a lot to be said about insecurity and about fear. Because for him, it was like he resented me because he was like, I could never be and will never be that person. And I think that that's a lot of our community and a lot of the people that don't associate with feminine gaze or refuse to acknowledge that they're a huge part of our culture are scared. They're absolutely terrified.
Well, I think that's why it's so important now that we're actually talking about what it means to be trans and helping people to explore that more. You know, I know someone who really enjoyed wearing his mother's shoes. And you know, for him, because of his age, he thought that that's just what it meant to be gay. But I think it's so great that now we know that that could mean that he is trans. It could mean that he wants to do drag. It could mean that he is straight and just likes wearing his mom's shoes. Like,
or maybe
and
just
it could
wants
be all those things.
Or
feeling short. Yeah. Like it's just, it's nice to know that now that the number, the category, the actual understanding of it is getting better, more in depth, more intense. Like it's good because you do, you end up creating these little camps.
Yeah.
And we're a little enough camp already. Being queer.
The segregation that happens within our community is the part that is the most, and again, this is part of the reason why we wanted, I'm kind of mixing topics, to be honest with you, because you're doing it from a social media standpoint, but I'm also taking it because you literally said, like, I'm taking a stand against, like, I just don't want to have to fit into anybody's mold right now. Like, I just don't want to do that. And I think that that pressure within the gay community to be everything to everyone, right? You have to be cute and you have to be, you know, tight bodied and you have to have great hair and a great bank account and you have to be versatile because you don't know whether or not you're going to find a top or a bottom.
Exactly. Just,
like, you have to be all of these things to everyone.
Well, you have to be one or the other, right? It's like you are this oddly specific niche or you are the typical Ken doll.
Sure.
It's like you are this beach body, masculine, straight dude, or you are like a skinny twink. And like you work that angle, or you are like a hyper feminine gay, or you are trans, or you, you know, there's these boxes that our community fits everybody into. Fucking Scruff has like options for like what tribe you belong to. And I just want to light my phone on fire every time I look at it because it's like, I don't fit into any fucking tribe. I could fuck a twink if I want to. I could fuck a bear if I want to. I could have anyone I wanted to be. I don't have to identify them or myself as any other subculture within that. It's just, it's something that happens inherently because that's what we've been taught as a society, because these things have been there in front of us before. Mm-hmm.
But it's even more weird because heterosexual society does not do that. Heterosexual society doesn't do that. Straight guys are typically, they like what? Cars, sports, and beer.
Right. But going back to what I was saying earlier about as a man and masculinity in general, if you don't fit into those categories, you're automatically labeled
as gay.
You're
not okay. Like, you
can't, or you're automatically, you're questioned.
You can't,
you know,
be
what I mean?
A straight man that likes
to bake.
Or likes to bake, right?
Like, or is a nice person things. Or who's sensitive.
Yeah.
My best friend, who's my roommate, her boyfriend, he's told me, and I've heard it several times before, that he's been questioned of being gay or assumed that he was gay because he's a gentleman.
He's a master baker.
Yeah, he's an incredible baker. Mm-hmm. He's incredibly talented. He's incredibly nice and comes from a great family, is considerate to his lady and to everyone around him, and he can connect with people. And, like, the fact that he's labeled as gay in that scenario is just wrong, because it's sad that people really have this construct to believe that, like, there's still this, like, masculine energy that if you don't give that off, you're questionable at some point. You know, it's like, fuck you. Everybody's on the spectrum. Everybody's bisexual. Like, whether you want to admit it or not, we all are. And some people lean one way, some people lean the other. But there's a whole wide variety of people in the mix. And, like, straight people are
no,
even
but
worse.
I even think further, like, beyond that, this is always the conversation that I have, you know, because if a female gets assaulted, right, everyone says, well, what was she wearing?
Right.
Why was she out late at night? How much did she have to drink? Why was she alone? Like, you know, we always blame her, but we never sit back and say, why didn't we teach the guys to just be decent
human
beings?
Right.
How about you just don't rape someone?
Right.
Like, yeah.
That's a whole new concept, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, much to your roommate's boyfriend's, you know, like, he is a good guy.
Yeah.
And because he's a good guy that would never potentially assault somebody, he's automatically considered
gay.
A gay person. And it's crazy. Especially since gay people like to assault people all the time.
Yeah, truly.
Let's be completely honest. That's part of the reason why we don't go to gay clubs and stuff like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I was so tired of being groped and felt up on and all of this other stuff like that. It just kind of... And then my husband was always ready to fight somebody.
Yeah.
It was always a problem.
I wasn't going to fight them. I was just going to snap something.
Yeah, that's fine.
What do you think about... Because you, as an outsider, as somebody who doesn't necessarily... you don't partake in all of this nonsense. And so you see it.
Which part of the nonsense?
All of it.
You've mentioned several.
D, all of the above.
I mean, nonsense social media, nonsense gay pressure.
All of that.
Nonsense. All of it?
All of it. So when you sit back and you... When you sit back and you hear somebody as an influencer and as this is like his image, is his job, and this is what he has to do, this is what pays his rent. Like, when you see these things on all that, and you hear about all the pressures that he's feeling, and then his... I don't know, his declaration of independence.
Yeah.
You know, like, when...
Liberation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His liberation. Like, when you hear all of that, like, what do you think as an outsider?
I mean, I think I told you earlier on, you know, that just it was almost overpowering, the psychological weight that I could only imagine you were feeling. That is incredible to me. Again, to I mean, it would be impossible not to see yourself in a distorted way.
Yeah.
After a period of time. And I just can't imagine what that's like. Our community, I mean, we covered some of this earlier in our conversation, but you know, it's so interesting that there's all the labels that there are, and that you know, the bear, dolphin, you know, everything you know,
otter,
yeah,
my favorites,
all of that. it's amazing, and it just, I feel like we miss such a good opportunity. You know, we're so used to getting kicked out ourselves that we just keep repeating the behavior.
Yeah.
And I do think that it is about not feeling
so
worthy.
It's kind of masochist, huh?
Well, yeah, or it's what you know. I mean, it just kind of depends, but it's trauma, and it's the cycle of trauma, and it's just repeating itself, and it's you know, it's that's, I think, what breaks my heart the most, is I think it does come from, as a community, not loving itself.
Yeah.
And so there's always, you know, we got into this a bit with the singing scientist, right? There's always a benefit to having an other that you're better than. Mm. And so if we're the community that most people are better than, right, then what are we going to do? Well, we'll segregate ourselves and we'll kick apart different parts of us. Okay, so you're, what is it? Fat femme Asian, right?
Yeah.
You can't be any of those things.
Right.
And just a quick shout out, love all of you. So don't, you know, don't
even
listen.
Some of my favorite people are all three.
Also, I find like a myriad of people to be attractive, and there's so many different things to be attracted to and about, that it breaks my heart when like conversations like that even need to be talked about. The fact that people even need to specify like no fats, no femmes, no Asians.
It's
like
so superficial.
Fuck you. Also
so
like
superficial.
I love me any type of dude, but like my last boyfriend was Asian. I love Asian dudes. I've dated overweight dudes. I've dated black dudes. I've dated Latino guys. I've dated white guys. There's no, I don't care. It doesn't matter. And no. Like, that's the messed up thing.
I've always said that I was a personality person, that I could literally find myself attracted to anybody just based off of their personality.
Yes.
And like literally look at them visually and be like, I don't know if I would have picked that person out for Marco, like by way of like what I know of him as a person, but when I see their personality and who they are, like I get it. I can't tell you how many times people were like, I did not see you with somebody like Tony. And then other people who really know me were like, Tony is totally your type.
Well, yeah.
Because he's intellectual. He's brilliant. He's kind of funny.
Oh, come on. Give me a little credit.
He tells dad jokes.
I was cracking
the best kind of jokes.
Yeah, thank you.
They're
thank you.
They're necessary in this culture.
I am definitely humored by him, I will say that. You know, but like he is actually perfect for me. But like, you know, at the same time, like, you know, I've dated the pretty boys.
Yeah.
They have nothing else going on other than their looks. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, I have found myself attracted more to a person based off of their, like, what they have going on besides their looks.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. If you think about, like, our parents and the generations prior, even those prior to, like, the invention of the iPhone, you were never given the opportunity to ever face value judge someone and to swipe left or right, depending on how you felt, right? The chemistry that your body goes through and the chemistry that your body emits when you are out in a public place, it mixes with someone else, which is like your traditional chemistry, but like your pheromones are picked up by somebody else. And like, it doesn't matter what the fuck they look like. If they mesh with your scent and with what you're picking up from them, that is literally the only thing. The amount of people that are together based on just that alone is like how everyone should be. And like, to me, I don't know how anyone is supposed to meet anyone in this day and age when it's like, I could have swiped left on my potential husband at this point, but I'll never know because the odds of me meeting him out are so slim to none at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe we don't go to the same places. Maybe we don't run in the same circles. Or maybe we do and I'm just not there because I don't want to leave my house. And it's like, to me, that is like the romance that breaks my heart is knowing that like it's there and it's out there. It's just now we've been trained to only use an app to get gratification, and we can get it now and we can get it whenever we want, whether it be Grindr or Scruff or Tinder or Bumble or whatever. You're not using your proper judgment. You're using the judgment of an algorithm. And that is the saddest part of it all. And that's why, like, I'm not dating anybody right now. My last boyfriend I met at my job. And it was the longest relationship I've had since my previous boyfriend, who I met through someone else when I was in high school. And, like, I don't want to meet my next boyfriend online. Am I completely against it? Not necessarily. But the idea of just having it be face value, like, that breaks my heart a little bit. That makes me feel shallow. In a lot of ways.
Yeah, you really have to be very careful and find a site that has some depth. Like, you know.
Yeah, like what happened to OkCupid of 2006? Like, where did that go? Like, can I get that back where you had to fill out a whole questionnaire and like a whole quiz?
Should get on Raya, apparently.
That's I got denied from fucking Raya, please.
Did you?
Yes. They were like, you're on our wait list. And I was like, fuck you.
Really?
Fuck you. Yes. I'm not.
And to think I was about to say cut that check.
Oh my God.
I mean, Raya is like the one that you go on when you're like a celebutante of some sort. And
gotcha.
Or it's like you have like you're a high-end makeup artist. It's like the Soho artist. It's the Soho House of dating apps.
Yes, it is.
But then again, like,
fuck that.
First of all, fuck Soho House. It's so outdated. Their pool is shitty. Dumbo House is much better. But also, I don't want to be a part of an elitist club of douchebags who I already know, who have already met
and don't like
or probably already slept with
and then be matched up with them. Hell to the nah.
Right.
Like absolutely not.
Right.
So it's a blessing in disguise, but like Nah, Raya yeah, can...
Like does not attract it. Like. What I always tell people is you can get on the dating apps and you can do that for fun, and it is a nice filter, yeah. I will say that.
Yeah.
But if you really want to have quality, it is about the real interaction. And, you know, people like me who lived in a small town, like that can be a great relief because it actually, I remember back when I was doing it, they were chat rooms.
Dinosaurs were yes. AOL Instant Messenger chat rooms?
I'll take you way further
back. MSN?
CompuServe.
Oh my God.
You dropped the CompuServe. Fuck. Wait, what was your AOL Instant Messenger name?
Oh, I had a couple. The one that's like as resounding and it's still my Apple ID is Nader's 220.
Okay, I was What's My Name 29.
Oh, wait!
What was yours?
My name on everything has always been the same. Always.
Dark Gleam.
It's all Dark Gleam.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What is it, Dark Gleam?
Gleam.
Dark. Oh, Dark Gleam.
Not Ooh. To be mistaken with Dark Wing.
Oh,
Dark.
Wow. Right. So deep there. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Think every cloud has a silver lining, but not cliche.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm sorry. So continue your thought, because you were saying...
What was I saying? I completely lost it. Oh, right. Yeah. So the thing is, like, okay, so, you know, somebody like me, like, I was able to connect with community, which was super important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there are people who can at least see some things. I think that there's a lot of good in it. I've known lots of people who are great people. They're just not great at the social part of things that have met some wonderful people and fallen in love. So I'm not bashing the dating apps. But I will say, I do think the thing to actually do, and that's all well and good, is use something that brings you together based on mutual interests.
Yeah.
So those sorts of apps or websites where you are, you know, where it is, your shared interests. So like, I really like hiking. I really like books. I really like whatever. And just make sure that it has the same sort of layered spectrum that you do, right? So it could be gay, it could be straight, it could be this age group, whatever. Not going to knock anybody for their preferences, but I find those to be much more fruitful because the pressure's off.
That makes sense. I feel like if I were in a more motivated place to want to date people right now, I would go out of my way to like look those things up, because like I'm sure that they're out there. Right. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's an app for friggin' everything.
Well, meetup.com. Meetup.com is great.
Now I get to say it. Cut that check.
I know, right? Meetup.com is fantastic. That? Cut that check. If you listen to past episodes, this is a shout out to the Fried Bologna podcast. Hi IQ. He likes anytime you endorse a brand, he always says, cut that check. He's waiting to get paid on anything. Yeah.
You know you're an influencer. You do, which is why
that's amazing. Yeah. That's perfect. I'm going to start integrating that into my Snap stories. For any sponsored posts, I'll be like,
cut that check.
Working with Lexus, cut that check.
Yeah. That's amazing. No, when you think about, I don't even remember what I was saying anymore, but I just feel like we are in a day and age in which we have too much accessible to us, and because we have too many options, we've become spoiled, disgusting bitches.
Yeah, there's too much information, there's too much accessibility. I mean, living in New York, you have apps like Seamless, Uber, all the dating apps. Like, if I wanted to have sex right now, I could go into the app right now and in 10 minutes leave the apartment and find someone to have sex with. Like, that's how immediate the instant gratification is. And I think as a society, we're getting more and more entrenched in this instant gratification because companies build upon it. And it's just, it's crazy how much we can have at our fingertips and how much really is readily available to us that, like, it shouldn't be. Mm. We shouldn't have this much. We shouldn't have this much information. We shouldn't have this much instant gratification. We shouldn't have this much screen time. We shouldn't have to be comparing ourselves to other people or other relationships or different things. It's just, it's constantly put into our faces because we now have these devices that are basically computers in front of our face every day, serving us, literally serving us new information, new images, new ideals. And it's crazy.
Well, Nathaniel, we are very proud of you and the stance that you're taking.
Thank you so much.
And I cannot wait to follow this journey.
Yeah.
You have huge cheerleaders.
Thank you.
Over here that are very, very pleased with you and everything that you're doing, and we'll always be here.
Thank you.
Again, I'm the Wonder Bra.
Thank you so much.
Friends.
I love that.
and so you always have support. We cannot thank you enough for being a part of this discussion.
Yeah, of course.
And for the content that you put out there and for the message that you're putting out there, because you are one of the good guys.
Thank you.
And you should continue to
be that. I like to think I am.
That's how I knew you were gay.
Yeah. There you go. That's the surefire sign.
Right.
So, see, that was the dad joke. Full circle.
Right. So there you go. So even though your posting might be sporadic at this point, where can our listeners follow you and get some content Nathaniel-ish?
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at the Nathaniel Manual. my blog is also thenathanielmanual.com, which that may change, the name may change, but my name is Nathaniel James, and I'll always be around. And I'll probably be serving most of my content up on Instagram, but I plan to change what it is and to write a little bit more on the blog. So
love it.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm so happy I was here. It was great.
Of course. It was a good day.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do that.
We'll be back.
So I'm probably the last person to talk to you about social media. I don't Snapbook.
That's Facebook and Snapchat.
I'm not on the Twitter.
It's just Twitter. There's no the in front of it.
And I barely understand what IG means.
Wait, you don't know that IG means Instagram?
No. But I do know one thing. There's a bunch of relationship content on all the social media apps.
Yeah, that's right. On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, we are at PodRelationship.
Yep. Just look for us and follow, retweet, or whatever it is you do to pay attention to us.
Oh my goodness.
My husband puts up great content related to the podcast.
I sure do. You can help us answer listener situation questions.
You can check out past and present hashtag gay relationship goals.
And you can get updates on relationship related events and activities.
So grab your phone.
Open up Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Go to the search bar and type in pod relationship and join in on the discussion.
We look forward to interacting with each and every one of you via social media.
We'll see you there.
Bye. Bye.
All right, now it's time for our listener situations.
That's right. Send your relationship questions or comments to relationshipquestions@gmail.com. Tony and I will read your emails here on the show and do our best to give some guidance, because I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me.
I was going to let you keep going because I love that song.
Look out, because here I come.
And I'm marching out to the beat I drum. Anyway. So our first question is a rare thing. I actually checked our direct messages.
Gas.
I know, and I didn't break my fingers or fall into a weird rabbit hole in Instagram or anything. but so I checked our direct messages. We had a pretty straightforward one that I thought would actually be fun for us to answer, because it's a nice little trip down memory lane. So it is just wanted to know what your favorite couple's costume was for Halloween.
That's interesting.
We've done some fun ones. I think for me, the best memory, maybe not the best costume. Well, I'll answer that in two. The best costume was when we did the 50s cartoon.
Oh, the pop art.
Yeah, that was fun. Super fun. I love that. And
I got to be nice
pictures.
And artistic with that one.
Yeah,
I
liked those costumes. But my favorite Halloween night where we were wearing a couple's costume was when we were the ambiguously gay duo.
Hands down, it was the best couple costume ever.
It was funny.
It was interesting. I mean, we literally wore spandex all night. So that was really interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't in love with all the things that were said that evening. But
no, you were ready to fight people.
I was.
But the couple... the costume itself was really fun, although I was really angry because I have super long limbs. The sleeves on it were too short, so I had to sew the sleeves plus the gloves
together.
So I essentially couldn't
take the outfit off.
Take my gloves off.
We're wearing a true onesie.
Correct. And then you and I had entered a video game competition in which I had to play Mario Kart on the Nintendo 64, which, by the way, I'm a professional at. And I'm usually really, really good at it. But because I had those gloves on and I was doing it, my hands kept slipping. And so I came in like third place.
You were pissed.
And I was pissed because I knew I could have come in first place and beat them bitches, and it was all because of the costume, so it was fine. But I was really, really, really disappointed because I'm a really good Mario Kart player.
I'm so good at Mario Kart.
For the record, everyone should know that. No, that was my favorite Halloween costume. I don't. What other, have we done any other couples costumes?
I mean, we've definitely had ideas for more, but I don't think so. Well, still the favorites.
Yeah, that's true.
Moving on.
Couples costumes that we've done. But that was fun. That was a good question.
That's a good
one. A little lighthearted. I like it.
I like it. All right, our next question goes back to the traditional way of me checking things, which is the email.
Oh.
The old email. So this one says, my wife and I have been together for 7 years. We were both married to men before we fully realized ourselves and identified as lesbian. Neither of us has any children from our previous marriages. We aren't really into the gay scene either. In fact, every year we debate on whether we even want to go to Pride or not. We were just wondering if you think this is makes us bad members of our community. We both have stories and struggles that we know we could share and that might help people but we don't really want to be out there like that. We just want to live our lives and spend our days together. We'd love to hear what you think.
Yes, I'm definitely taking away your lesbian card because shame on you, lesbians.
I will take a slightly different stance and say...
That was a joke. I was not being serious.
Well, if I hadn't fake laughed at it, I would say I didn't laugh, but I fake laughed at it. Everyone's experience is different. Not everyone has to give back to their community. And that's not just about being gay. That's just in general. Like, it is perfectly all right to live your best, most authentic life and not give back to your community. Like, that's okay. That's okay. I don't believe in it. And I tend to associate with people who feel differently. But that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you went through your struggle, you had your experiences, and now you just want to be happy and you want to live in the way you want to live. And that may not be in the spotlight, and that may not be making a change in your community. And while I think those things are very important and I would strongly encourage people to do it because it is needed, and you're doing important work like preventing death, I'm sorry, but that sounds
like a whole lot of pressure.
No, it's not pressure. It's just that really is the state of things. Like you can prevent suicide by giving back to your community. So while I would encourage you to do it, I just wouldn't feel badly that you aren't. Like, not everyone is wired that way. Not everyone works like that. Like, some people have their own struggles and that's the end of it. Some people have, you know, relatively few struggles and don't really identify with that process. That doesn't mean that there aren't other ways that you can give back that aren't sharing your story or coaching and mentoring or anything like that. Like, you could, it seems silly, but there are hands that are needed for everything. Collecting donations, preparing food. Like, there's stuff you can do that has nothing to do with being gay. And that is still a way of giving back to your community. So I would say expand looking at that. But the short answer is no, I wouldn't condemn you in any way for not being an active social member of your community.
No, I mean, I don't think that everyone needs to be like picketing. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know that I think that that needs to be a thing. But, there are a lot of things that you can do within the gay community that is like just shows that you love the skin that you're in and you love your fellow gays. And it could be fun, whether that's catching a drag show and giving a dollar bill to the queen, or going to your local LGBT center and becoming a membership and spending $5 a month. Like, it's whatever you want it to be. Like, and it doesn't have to be grandiose and it doesn't have to be minimal. Like, you can kind of just enjoy it however you want to enjoy it. You know, not all of us are programmed to, you know, be riding on a float at the gay pride parade.
Right.
That's just not necessary. That's not even my thing. And I like to think that I'm not even like incredibly active in the community, but I definitely don't have assless chaps so that I could do that. That's not, and I just feel like that's the only way that I could possibly do that. But anyways, of course that was a joke. But I just, you know, do what makes you comfortable. But you know, you would be really surprised at how much you could connect with your community in whatever way you're interested. And so whether that is, you know, again, having a good time with going to a gay bar and enjoying a drag show, or going and having drag brunch somewhere, or, you know, whether that is going to your LGBT center and reading to gay youth, or, you know, or anything of the sort could happen, and you could just give yourself a minimal thing. But it doesn't require you to be out in the club or on the apps or anything like that to do that, because I can understand not wanting to involve yourself in that, because I, you know, not all of us want to do that all the time. But no, I wouldn't say you're a bad person for doing it. You know, I would just say find a way to do something, because again, that dollar in a drag queen's, fake cleavage, really helps them. That makes sure that they have some sort of stable job and that they get to do what they love and that they're passionate about something and getting to do it every single time. And so, and you're contributing to that. And you would be surprised at how far that will go.
Agreed. There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. So that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Thanks for tuning in and being a part of this super important conversation.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pod Relationship. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us. Tell everyone you know the noises Marco just made.
You can email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments that you'd like us to address here on the show.
And if you're in the New York City area, please don't forget to join our group on meetup.com for more relationship content and activities.
Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
But I promise he won't make that voice. And remember to give a shit about yourself.